Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host, you're watching The Deen Show. Today we're going to be talking about family business. Family business. Family is the crust of society. If we have broken homes, we're going to have broken society. So here at The Deen Show, we care about the society, we care about ourselves, we care about you, and we want the families to stay together. So it starts with yourself, and then you go ahead and get that beautiful spouse, and you fall in love, and you want to stay in love, and you want to raise the children in a beautiful, functional family so they can grow up to be the best Muslims that they can be, contributing to society in a positive way, not a destructive way. So how do we keep families from breaking and losing the most precious business of all, family business? We're going to have to do some family planning, and we got to know our rights and roles and responsibilities. So we're going to be back in a minute with Imam Mustafa Zaid to talk more about this topic here on The Deen Show. We'll be right back.
This is The Deen Show.
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 This is The Deen.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen
Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
I'm in the studio with Imam Mustafa Zaid, who is the author of The Lies About Muhammad. You have your own personal section at thedeenshow.com, so people can go back. They like this show, they can go back to thedeenshow.com to see some of the other shows that we've done with you, inshallah, God inshallah. Willing. You have been an imam, spiritual leader?
Yes.
For how long?
About 8 years now.
8 years?
Yes.
Now tell us, have you had a lot of experience with people coming to you, husbands, wives, complaining? The wife complained about the husband complained about the wife, saying, you know, look, my marriage, my life is in shambles. How do we save this? I got kids, I got family, I don't want it to be torn apart. Have you had a lot of these issues come
many,
to you?
Many, all the time.
Not all only, the time?
All the time. And actually, the worst part, which I want to alert the viewers to, if you'd ever think that things would escalate to a level that you would need an imam to interfere, do that early on. One of the biggest mistakes that people do is that they come to us and we can't make a difference. We can explain to people things about how to run about your marriage lives, more importantly, your rights and obligations as a husband, as a wife, but they come to us after everything is said and done and there's too much damage. So if there's an advice that I want to put at the outset, please go to your imam, your religious leader, early on when the problem is, you know, easy to solve. And do not be embarrassed to bring it to the public because he's not going to publicize it. But he can get in and interfere in your favor and the favor of your marriage and your children much sooner than and much better than you can think.
Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one God, the same God of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger of Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah. In Aramaic, Jesus said, Allaha. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the creator of the sun and the moon, the creator of this whole universe and everything in it. He's the most merciful, so he sent the blueprint. But now, don't things get a little bit off track? Things get in shambles when we go away from the blueprint? Is Absolutely. That where you see most of the problems coming and stemming from?
Absolutely. And I think one major problem in Islamic upbringing and Islamic education, God, with God blessing, we have a lot of Islamic schools, is that we do not have a special section for in Islamic education, Islamic upbringing, to show the boy how to be a good husband. What does it take to be a good husband? What are the references? What's the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do? And the same thing for girls. What is a good wife? How good can you be? What can you tolerate? What can you tolerate? What's good and what's bad? It's very critical because it's about forming, as you said, the crust of our society. And if boys and girls do not know how and they're going to just go by trial and error, then it's a 50-50 chance for that marriage to happen. And that's what happens sometimes, unfortunately.
Now, you don't do that if you are put in charge of a multi-billion dollar company. You don't just test and trial, you do your research, don't you? You really look into how we can make this right, because you don't want to lose your investment. You don't want to lose your money. But isn't family more important than any kind of business?
They do job training, job orientation. They make sure that you're qualified, you have the proper education before you even start at the bottom of the ladder. And that's a very good example, and marriage should be dealt with the same way. It's about the future of the children. It's about the future of the human being. It's about comfort. The most beautiful, one of the most beautiful verses about marriage in the universe, not even in the Quran. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And some of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He created from you spouses that you would use as spiritual home. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. تَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا second is calmness and peace and joy. Home, spiritual home for you is where you go and feel yourself, you feel protected, you feel you're safe, you recharge your batteries, and so on and so forth. That's the spouse. That's the husband to a wife in Islam, and that's the wife to a husband in Islam. So that is very important. That is the quality of life. Good marriage is the good quality of life and good children, good upbringing, and someone that you can trust and someone that you can relate to and someone who can understand you. That feeling of not having that person or having a problem at that area is devastating to the quality of life in anyone, in any religion, in any time of history.
We know that in Islam, which simply means to acquire peace by submitting your will to the one God. Now, Islam, there's no dating, there's no test drive, no boyfriends and girlfriends.
Yes.
You have to come together in marriage, correct?
Yes.
So now in the marriage, the business of family, you know, this is the introduction that we gave, that man and woman come together and it's a mercy from the Creator. But we have roles and responsibilities. So let's talk a little bit about the man's role and the woman's role. Because when we get these roles mixed up, I think a lot of the problems also stem from here. When the woman starts acting like a man, the man starts acting like a woman, everything's all messed up,
yes.
We're not playing our roles.
Yes.
And this can be linked back also to business. You got the CEO, you got the manager, so things function smoothly. Allah wants it to function smoothly. He's given us roles. What are these roles?
You said a very important couple of words in the beginning, and it's very important. I was interviewed by Bridges TV one time back in New Jersey, and the man asked me a straight question. Doesn't it make sense to you that people should be dating first before they get into marriage? Because if things are not getting along together with, you know, between them and the chemistry is not there, then you might as well not start the marriage from the beginning and save yourself the hassle and the divorce and all that. And my answer to him, and this is why dating is forbidden in Islam, it's not what you think is good or not. It's after you get married, what do you adhere to? What are you referenced to right and wrong, no matter whom you like and what do you think? And that's what makes a marriage successful. It's what guidelines you abide by. If the wife abides by the guidelines of Islam and the husband abides by the guidelines of Islam, that's a successful marriage no matter which backgrounds they have. And that's the most important thing.
Guidelines.
Guidelines.
Foul lines, perimeters that we don't go out of.
Absolutely. The number one rule in Islam that a man compliments a woman and a woman compliments a man. In Western societies, the man-made theologies is that they're in competition with each other, as if they're roommates or partners in a business, and it's my share against your share, or what are you doing versus what I'm doing. Totally the opposite. In Islam, a man complements the woman. You need the two elements of life, the strength, the perseverance to go out there, make a living, protect and provide for the family. And at the same time, you need the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that is called a mother. The kindness, the love, the compassion, the teaching, the education, the care that is needed for us, men and women, to be brought up in a nice, good environment, healthy environment. You cannot have that kindness and mercy and patience in the same body of strength and perseverance and fighting. You need two elements. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that way, so we complement each other, so we need each other. The more female a woman is the more she would enjoy her being, the more manly a man would be, is the more that he's going to enjoy his being, and they complement each other. In that unit, like any unit, and you brought in a beautifully the business example, there's no business that is successful that has three CEOs or two CEOs. And by three CEOs, sometimes it's the wife want to be the boss and the husband want to be the boss, and they bring even outside influence from outside, family members that actually dictate and mandate and influence their life. That business is doomed. Regardless what resources, the quality of the people involved, that business is going down. Marriage is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a boss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that leadership to the man with the responsibilities of providing.
Mm-hmm.
الرجال قوامون على النساء بما أنفقوا. Men attend, and this is one of the worst mistranslated words in the Quran. قوامون does not mean better. It means attend to. The building attendant is the one who serves all the tenants, not the boss of all the tenants. So men attend to the needs of the family and the women with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given and with their ability to spend and provide. So it's even that attendant, you know, ability is conditioned upon your ability as a man to provide. But with that responsibility, the woman also has responsibility. And being the boss of that business unit does not mean like some Muslim brother would do, my word is my word, it is what it is, and I'm the boss. And no, you consult, you bring the consensus, you want to treat him good. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave the advice that خِيَارِكُمْ خِيَارِهُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ Your best are your best to their women. The mother, the daughter, the sister, most importantly the wife. In his last speech, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he was carried to the podium to give his last speech, he gave three pieces of advice. Do not let the world tempt you and waste you like it wasted the people before you. Do not lose your prayers. And of all Islamic law and all the advice that he gave us over 23 years, the third one was, I gave you a trust. That is the women. You took him by the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, keep that trust. Treat him well. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in matters of war with men and so on, he's the Prophet of God, was the most consulting of his companions. Imagine now you're a husband and a wife, and she's your life partner, and you want to issue a decision without at least consulting her. You have the ultimate decision, but it has to represent the best, and you have to care and be nice and lenient, as we said before about Prophet Muhammad with all his wives.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more here on The Deen Show.
There'll always be someone that'll be there to say something negative. But at the same time, there'll be someone there to say something positive also. So just hold on to the rope of Allah.
Everything in this universe rely and need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet never ever start a war against anybody.
Back here on The Deen Show, we're talking about keeping the families together, and we need to know our roles. The man, and before we left off, to be kind to the woman,
yes,
to be understanding, to consult with her, not to be a dictator in the house,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And this is his role to maintain. The woman, she can sit back and take care of the institution of the home, upbring the children, is this right? And the man is the one who is what some would look for, a sugar daddy. He takes care of everything.
Yes.
The phone bill, the electric bill, she don't have to pay for anything. Is this right?
Absolutely. And one other misconception that I think was the detriment for many marriages is that people belittle the best and most noble job in the history of mankind, that is the job of a mother. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the middle of 7th century mandated that even women captives of enemy combatants would be educated. That women, in generality, even Muslim women, would be educated. Why? Because you have the most noble job of raising and educating the entire society, men and women. It's our mothers who taught us how to pray, what's right, what's wrong, gave us our manners, and stayed with us, and helped us with our homework, and so on and so forth. That is the greatest job ever. And a lot of people think that, you know, because the wife was an engineer or a doctor, how could she be a housewife, as if a housewife is something bad? Actually, a good housewife is what makes a great society, a great nation, and bring out the best in men and women. So people need to actually understand, men and women, the importance of what is called a mother. My mother, God bless her soul, was a very highly educated woman. And if anyone shaped my character, you know, with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was my mother. She was with me, she taught me how to read, write, what are the meaning of good words. When I read books that are way older than my level, it was my mother who taught me everything. Yes, she could have got a better job and actually worked outside and we're going to have a lot more income, but the impact she had upon my life and the life of my brother was billions of dollars worth, whatever money that she brought extra. So the value of the ethics and the quality of people that you bring about being a good, qualified Muslim mother is much more better than any materialistic value or extended vacation or a bigger plasma TV. So that is something that I think a lot of people need to grasp as far as Islamic values when it comes to marriage.
Now the influence of outside television, media would belittle sometimes this position, but this is very, very detrimental, like you said, to the upbringing of the future leaders of the world.
Yes.
Having an educated woman that is really protecting that child, nurturing that child,
yes,
rather than Sally or Betsy or whoever else raising that child and or the TV all day, but the mother who's got the formula of mercy, patience, to really make sure that this child grows up to be someone or woman or man that's going to be an asset, a benefit for society.
And just a short indication of how rewarded that the greatness of a good mother, a good Muslim mother, the man that came to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ wanted to do jihad, which is being drafted to the army of the Muslims. He wanted to get that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ asked him, your mother is alive? He said, yes. He said, izhab fa'inna al-jannata tahta qadamayha. Go, serve her, because paradise that you seek in by making jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is underneath the feet of your own mother. Serving his mother supersedes the great reward of being, you know, a soldier in the Muslim army. And that honor, you know, when you say a human being, the paradise or Jannah underneath their feet, that is honoring the job and the noble status of a mother that a lot of people belittle.
So we know that the woman in Islam has been uplifted. God Almighty has given her rights. And
yes,
we will, inshallah, do a show about the women's rights and roles in Islam, which far precede any rights that many of the women
today
did today. Yes. You maybe you can elaborate on this. But now she's also got responsibility. So we talked about the man now. The man is the one who provides, who takes care, who he's the one who goes out in the cold and pump the gas and, you know, hustle and bustle and, you know, take care of, you know, the responsibilities. Is this correct now, Sheikh?
Yes.
And he has to be kind and merciful, consult with his wife, and at the end of the day, he does all this. What is also the role of the man in the house as far as should the woman, once consulted, because you also have some nightmare stories where the woman now, you know, because we live in the Jerry Springer society, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do.
Yes.
So should the attitude of the wife be when the husband tells her, you know, look, Allah tells us this, the messenger tells us we should do it this way, and now she wants to do it her way. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do.
Yes.
Is this the right attitude?
That is the wrong attitude, and people need to understand, but you know, Muslim men and Muslim women, that obeying the husband as far as the wife is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The general cardinal rule in Islam, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no obedience to a created in disobeying the creator. So if he tells you things that is Islamically correct, then he is to be obeyed, because in obeying him, you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also, when he gives that, it's not an order. She's not employed by you. She's not a servant. She is your partner in life. And when you say things, then that when the boss gives an order in a business to the vice president or the division director, this needs to be done. It needs to be done. If there's an issue to be brought, discuss it nicely and politely with the understanding that the ultimate decision and in it, the ultimate responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies with whoever is entrusted to run the business. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ described an obedient, righteous woman as a treasure of this world.
Treasure.
A treasure. And actually, in another hadith, the treasure. You want to know what the treasure of dunya, of this world? It's a good wife. If you look at her, she would please you. If you leave her money, you would trust her with your money. If you leave your children with her, you would trust her with your children. When you are away, she would keep her chastity. It's a source of pleasure, calmness, trust and confidence, and that's a beautiful thing. And look at the reward for that. And a lot of women do not know where the reward is. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, if the woman did four things, if she prayed her five prayers, if she fasted her 30 days, if she kept her chastity, if she obeyed her husband, and as we said, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the husband, then on Judgment Day, it will be told to her, enter Jannah from whichever door you want.
It's put right up there with the prayer and the fasting. This is a major thing.
Absolutely.
That the CEO, the president, the person that Allah put in charge, because Allah, the Creator, knows best in His wisdom, He's made it like this.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a role for the wife in Islam that a lot of even Muslim wives are not aware of, but by experience, they practice it. You become the mother of the husband. a de facto one, whether directly or indirectly. You're the mother who takes care of him like his mother took care of him. And the mother, when the baby is crying, she does not cry back at him. She understands his pain, she tolerates his pain and deals with it. And a lot of successful marriages come from the level of tolerance and patience that the husband and the wife apply. And in that comes the general cardinal rule in Islam. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us, and this is how we treat people, and it's a major part of the manners of Islam. إِن لَمْ تَجِدْ لِأَخِيكَ عُذْرًا فَالْتَمِسْ لَهُ عُذْرًا. If you did not find an excuse for your brother, he did something wrong, then seek an excuse for him. If you don't find an excuse, make one up for him. And that if needed to be applicable in one's life as a Muslim, it is in his marriage life. My wife did something wrong. Yes, you would get angry, you get mad, but try to find an excuse. She's busy with the kids. And the husband would yell and say something, be rude or does something. Then the wife would say to himself, that's my life partner. That's the one that I love. That's my partner for years. It's not because of this thing. All of a sudden, he's a monster or she's a demon. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe when he will calm down. And then, and that is how marriages work. Not being confrontational. When the wife is mad or doing something wrong, don't make the confrontational now. Calm down till, and then nicely and politely say, why did you do this? Didn't you know that hurt me? I thought you did this and did that. You can diffuse a ton of divorces and problems by that leniency and that, you know what, let's wait till things calm down and do it later on.
Amazing, amazing. And we'll be back with more here on The Deen Show. Don't go nowhere.
I just want to say, very simple message.
He is the maintainer.
One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer to God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party, and the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow, and this is something that we need to think about.
Back here on The Deen Show with Imam Mustafa Zaid. You have a lot of experience. You are a religious leader, a spiritual leader in New Jersey.
Yes.
So you have a lot of these cases coming up. We want to save the families. We know that divorce is something that, you know what, it's there. As a last resort, is it?
Yes.
But we don't want people to have broken homes because then we have broken societies. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's halal.
Yeah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed it. But إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الْحَلَالِ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. The most hated halal or allowed thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed is divorce. Because divorce, and a lot of people do not realize that, it has so many dimensions of damage. The most apparent one are the children. No matter what happens or what people claim that, you know what, when the couple are divorced, you know, the mother is going to provide or the father is going to do this, this and that. There's nothing like two loving father and mother together taking care of the same children. Children would have a devastating, lasting effect upon them. And that is haram. That's a part of the responsibility of marriage. That when I say, you know what, I want a divorce, or I want to stand up to my husband or my wife, and I'm not going to do this, and you know, being stubborn and shaitan gets in between. No, keep an eye on the real damage of the lives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted you both with. Another factor also when it comes to divorce is that some Muslim men use divorce as something to bargain with or a pressure. You know what? I'll divorce you just to show an impact that, you know, you're divorced, that they're just to scare her or to get the wife to behave better. That is a very wrong technique. The word divorce is a very heavy word. You say it, meaning it, and apply divorce two times, the third time, she's not your wife anymore. Unless she really marries somebody else and actually get divorced from that real marriage, and then you can marry her
again. It's not a joke, huh?
It's not a joke, period. And when there's a divorce issue, do not let anyone influence what's going on and get involved. Only righteous people that care for the best interest of the couple can get involved. Do not get me a mother-in-law or a father-in-law on either side that actually was a part of the problem by interfering in the marriage and undermining the position of the husband, let's say, or the right of the wife upon the husband from, let's say, somebody of his family, and bring these people to mediate and try to mend the relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you have the good intention, then that marriage, inshallah, would be kept. So bring only righteous people who are wise that come in and interfere to bring the marriage together and limit outside influence. My mother is sacred to me, but my mother is not my wife. My wife has rights upon me as well. And these rights should not affect each other or take from, you know, other person's right. My father is sacred to me, but he does not run my household the same way his father-in-law did not run his own household. And so on and so forth. So respect family relationships, but respect your wife more than you respect the rest of your family when it comes to your own household, and vice versa for the wife. That is also a major factor in what happens.
Now, you mentioned outside interference.
Yes.
Now, from what you're saying, this can have a devastating negative effect.
Yes.
I mean, is this one of the rights of the husband and wife that now that she doesn't go out and she's communicating with other sisters or the husbands or the brothers, now they're getting influenced, not from physicians, like what we call the scholars, physicians, people yes. who can really advise you to good according to the Quran, the verbatim word of God, and the Sunnah of Allah's final message, but to their own opinions, their
yes.
way of thinking, what they think is right. Oh man, he shouldn't be doing that to you. Oh, you could replace her with something better. And then they pump up the husband or the wife in a negative way,
yes.
and they cause more problems. Can you elaborate on this?
Prophet Muhammad said that if I'm talking to you, and you told me something, and you just turn around, automatically you have given me an amanah, as if you have trusted me with money that I keep for you.
Repeat that again. If you turn around and you told me something.
I told you something, and I turn around. Automatically, the moment I turn around, is as if I gave you money, and I trusted you with an amanah that you need to keep from me. Meaning that for other people, even strangers, you should not tell other people confidential information to other people. The most confidential of all information is the information of your own life, your own household. So as a wife, do not have a best friend and tell her the secrets of your household, secrets of intimacy that is totally forbidden by Allah, by Prophet Muhammad and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing with the husband. Yes, they're families, but there's limits to knowledge about the day-to-day life. The more you involve these people, the more they're going to get involved in your life, negatively or positively, according to their own liking. And subhanallah, in the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس. One of the first effects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to resort to him from the shaitan is the whispering of the shaitan. That whispering sometimes is done by your best friend and your family, even your parents sometimes. When you listen, when you open the radio channel to receive that negative influence, you're just opening, you know, a door to just destroying your entire marriage. And when the marriage is destroyed, who's going to suffer? You. More than anyone else, and your children, and your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so many broken, you know, houses and marriages, 2-3 years, they wish that they were lenient and tolerant, and they didn't say what they had to say, and they were not listening to the people that they listened to. But sometimes it's too late.
Sometimes it's too late, and we don't want it to be too late. That's why we're discussing this, so we can save the home, not break the home. And we're going to have to continue to do a part two to this, because this is such a very, very important topic. We're going to give some live examples in the next show. Would you agree to come back and do another
Inshallah,
part?
Inshallah.
God willing.
Inshallah.
Just before we close, just some closing comments and suggestions for the people who are suffering now. What before we go to the next program and do this for the following week, what advice do you have for them?
I think one of the most practical pieces of advice is that you bring a piece of paper and write down the good things about your spouse. Just the good things. And when you write them down, you would realize that, yes, your spouse is not perfect. Let me break some news to you. But so is everyone. So are you. So when you look at these good things about your spouse, it will remind you that there are qualities there, that things to bargain there. And subhanAllah, the same people who are so happy about the marriage, that's why they accepted their spouse in the beginning and got married, all of a sudden they would complain that he turned to be the devil or turned to be this and that and so on and so forth. But actually sometimes people would admit, hopefully after when it's not too late, that their tolerance level, their ability to accept the pitfalls of their spouse actually weighing down through time with the pressures of life and responsibilities. And sometimes all it takes is just to be apart for 3-4 days in a vacation or staying away with your family till things calm down, and then you would yearn again to the same spouse that you loved in the beginning. So inshallah, write down the quality of people, find excuse for your spouse. You know, sometimes it just, as we said, just take a break for 2-3 days away from everything and the pressure of the daily life of marriage, and things magically change inshallah to the best.
Thank you very much.
Jazakallah khair.
We look forward to doing more with you. Wiyak. Thank
you. Jazakallah khair.
Wiyak. And that was Imam Mustafa Zaid, the author of The Lies About Muhammad. You can go to his website, to purchase the book and to learn more about them. And we look forward to having you back again. Make dua to Allah, stick to the game plan, the Quran, the verbatim word of God, and the sunnah. Know your roles, know your rights, and live by the way that will bring you peace and happiness, Islam. We'll see you next time here on the Deen Show. Peace be unto you.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come. Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.